ECI European Rugby Show is in Bilbao for the climax of three continental competitions across 2018 finals weekend. Today we concentrate on the big one, Saturday's European Rugby Champions Cup final between Leinster and Racing 92. We have analysis on the key team news and we'll hear from important figures in both camps, Leo Cullen, Johnny Sexton and Donica Ryan, who have all been speaking here today at the San Mamés Stadium. Plus, with the profile of Cullen, who, like Laurent Travers, could be the first man to win the Champions Cup as both a player and as a coach. And don't forget to download the EPCR European Rugby Show's main finals weekend preview, which includes an interview with Matt O'Connor. He provides his analysis of both sides' qualities. Hello, welcome to the show. I'm James Burridge. We're in the inner sanctum here at the San Mamés Stadium, just outside the main press room, which is buzzing with media from around the world. They're doing their sound checks in the stadium as we speak, because we are getting mightily close to one of the biggest weekends in club rugby. Tom May is with me, as always, formerly of Newcastle, Toulon, Northampton and England. And Tom, that you really do sense the anticipation now. You're just walking to the ground, seeing the colour, seeing the excitement.
Yeah, it's amazing wandering around town to see so many fans with so many different shirts on. Clearly some had banked on their sides getting into this stage of the competition. But, you know, they're in an amazing city that is doing, I think, itself proud in hosting this competition.
Been tasting some of the local delicacies, have you?
I don't know what rumours you've been hearing, but yes, I have. I was looked after very, very nicely last night, and my girlfriend and I were treated to some fantastic culinary delights and maybe a glass or two of red wine as well.
This stadium as well, it's almost a bit like the Millennium Stadium, because you really feel that there isn't a bad seat in the house when you're really on top of the pitch, aren't you? You're not far away from it at all. It's very evocative, the sound. You get the sense that it's going to be a big part of it.
Yeah, it's almost like a cauldron, because the roof, actually, the hole in the roof, is actually smaller than the field, it looks like. So it's very enclosed, very, I guess, intimidating if you know, filled with Atletico Bilbao fans. But, you know, I think Gloucester fans will be pretty happy that it's red tonight. So, you know, they're going to be looking forward to that. But I think tomorrow with the big Champions Cup final, I think you've got two sides that have really passionate fans. And I think seeing the Leinster fans walking around town, they're really looking forward to this weekend.
And as ever, Emma Thurston is with us. Emma, how can people get involved with Finals Weekend on social media?
As always, we're at Champions Cup on Twitter and European Rugby Champions Cup on both Facebook and Instagram. So make sure that you get in touch with us and show us your finals weekend here in Bilbao.
Emma, thank you very much indeed. Next then, on this bonus Champions Cup final preview, all the team news from Leinster and Racing 92, when you'll hear from key figures in both camps.
Hi, I'm Ronan O'Gara and you're listening to the EPCR European Rugby Show.
So to the big one then. Saturday, May the 12th, it is the Champions Cup final. Leinster against Racing 92. It's a 4:45 kickoff BST, 5:45 local time. It's on BT Sport 2, Sky Sports Action, BN Sports and FR Dur. And I'm thrilled to say we have a man who has commentated on some of the biggest games, both in club and international rugby, Miles Harrison of Sky Sports. And Miles, you've seen the stadium, the San Mamés. How does it compare?
I love it. I mean, you walk in there, there's some stadiums make you go, wow, the old wow factor, and this was one. I think the pitch looks beautiful. Obviously, it's got tonight's game and then tomorrow, so we hope it holds up. Some of these football pitches sometimes don't, but it couldn't look any more immaculate than it does in its current condition. And just everything about the stadium, the angle of the stand and the fact that I think the fans can get really close to the action, nobody's got a bad view, and the roof just gives... It's even shaped like a rugby ball, the central bit, so It's handed over for the weekend from football. Obviously, it's got great tradition in this part of the world. The old stadium, and then the new one built on the site almost of the old one. And it's continued those traditions in a very modern way. I just think it's a beautiful thing to look at, and it's going to create a great atmosphere for the final.
Yeah, they've chosen well, haven't they? The team news then with Ethan Athewa leading out Leinster for the last time on that left wing. Jordan Lama, he's going to make his third start in six Champions Cup matches on the opposite wing. Luke McGrath returns from an ankle injury. And on the bench, Reece Ruddock has shaken off a hamstring injury. And Sean Cronin for Leinster will run out for his 50th European Cup game. And of course, the big news for Racing, of course, we've known about Maxime Machinot and that he's out. But Teddy Irabanin is in, and it is going to be Lambie starting at 10 with Dan Carter on the bench. And Tom Mayer, your thoughts on that, first of all, because we were wondering who was going to start at 10 for Racing.
Yeah, I think really we knew that Carter would start on the bench. He had a massive influence in that game when he came on in the semi-finals. But Lambie's done brilliantly since his arrival in Paris. And, you know, for Laurent Travers to be able to pick between those two, it's quite a nice luxury for them to have. But, you know, I think potentially we could see Carter either come on at 12, maybe Lambie goes to fullback. You know, I think they've got the ability to shift people about, which can add to the mix slightly as well.
How much are they going to miss Machinot, Miles?
It's one of those injuries in the run-up to a game. When you heard about it, that is a massive blow. It really is. But look, they've had time to adjust to it. They have some very talented players across the board. They're not just a one-man team. But in answer to your question, James, I think they're going to miss him an awful lot, not least because of his goal-kicking duties. And whoever gets that job will be under severe pressure because of what Machinot has achieved for his side in this competition this season.
Emma, all of us have come over on various planes here, and the colour of the Leinster fans has been huge. You can see it in the parks nearby here. Tell us what they're saying on social media.
Well, there's a whole load of excitement on social media. Remember, we're at Champions Cup if you want to get in touch with us on Twitter, and European Rugby Champions Cup on Facebook, where we'll be bringing you all of the press conferences and reaction to what should be an incredible final. Well, Miriam Collins, she says it's all starting to feel so close now. The return of Reece is happening tomorrow. And Cormac, he's just simply said about the Leinster side, some team. Well, for Tom, he's looking at Racing, and he said a very nice composition, nevertheless disappointed for Imhoff. So keep your thoughts coming through across finals weekend on social media.
Let's take you to those press conferences then that Emma alluded to. We'll hear from Racing in a moment. First though, let's start with Leinster. On the top table today, Johnny Sexton, Captain Ethan Athewa and head coach Leo Cullen, who was asked for his assessment of Racing 92's qualities.
Very powerful. A lot of very, very powerful players. Very, very dangerous broken field runners. If you think of it, we know Nakawara from his time at Glasgow in the Pro 12 as it was back then. The way he's able to, his ability to be able to suck in defenders and get the ball away and have players that are able to play through the line. So he's obviously a clear threat. Vakatau as well. But just the power that Racing have in their squad, the depth of experience that they have as well. You know, when you've got Dan Carter on your bench, it says it all, really. You know, so what Racing have built in the last 7, 8, 9 years, and what they've assembled in terms of an expensive bunch of players. So you know, we have to do things slightly differently in Leinster, where we produce guys from within mainly, and we bring in a couple of key signings from overseas. But yeah, it's very much it's a clash of styles about how you assemble a squad. So it's a very formidable bunch of players that we'll be up against tomorrow. Yeah, it's a great challenge for us.
A question for you, Jonathan. Do you feel that it's an advantage to have been played for Racing Club de France and to know how they play for that final?
Is it an advantage for them or advantage for me? Look, they're going to know me pretty well. I'll know a lot of their players, but they've got a very different squad to when I was there. A few different coaches as well, so, and they play a lot different. It'll be a special game for me, obviously playing against you know, a lot of my friends that I haven't seen in a few years. I'll be looking forward to catching them after the game.
Hey, Leo. Obviously, it's been tricky picking between your three non-European players all season. Can you tell us how you came to the decision to pick Scott and Jemson?
Yeah, there's a lot of different factors. I thought Jemson did very well in the game in the semi-final against Scarlets. You know, so in many ways, he's unlucky not to start in the game. Scott's come in, he's done well. I think he's been a really good addition to the forwards, and he's a good leader in the group. So it's not an easy decision. It adds a little bit of complication, but we felt those two guys have gone well, and we think they'll do a good job for us tomorrow.
Question for Johnny. Are you surprised to see Dan Carter on the bench, Johnny? And how do you think Pat Lambie will go at number 10? Have you played against him much, and what do you make of him as a player?
No, I haven't played against Pat Lambie much. We probably expected Lambie to start because he's done so well for them throughout the competition. You know, we'll try and be prepared for all combinations. You know, when Carter comes on, whether Lambie goes to 15 or sometimes they bring Carter on at 12. So they've got lots of different combinations that we have to be ready for.
Do you think Carter can still be a threat off the bench?
Yeah, of course. He changed the quarterfinal for them against Claremont. And, you know, obviously the game changed a lot when he came on against Munster. But he's still obviously a world-class player. And, you know, I'm sure he'll be keen to make an impact when he does come on.
He said your own emotions, given the fact that you are nearing the end. How are you feeling approaching it?
Normal. No emotions. It's just another week for me. So you'll have plenty of time in the future to think about that, but it's just routine.
And what's given you confidence that you guys can go out and do the job tomorrow?
Look, I think we talked before Scarlets and Saracens about taking a step, and we did that. Said it many times, it was a pretty lonely place, losing a semi-final the year before, and you learn a lot about yourselves, and it was about building on that over the last 12 months. We're going to try and go to another level. We have to against such a world-class team. So, you know, we've been building nicely, and but just taking it one day at a time.
Leo, nobody's ever won this as a player and then a coach. How do you think your experience as a player has instructed the way you've led your side into this final? What you've done this week, perhaps?
It's trying to keep it as normal as possible and do the things that have got us to this stage. Really, that's what experience tells you. Yeah, it seems like a long time ago, 2012. But there was definitely things that I remember from the preparation leading into those games that we've tried to look at this week, you know. But the main thing is just trying to make it as normal as possible for us, making sure that we're familiar here with the ground, etc. I came over here last week and to look at the stadium. It's an amazing place. Glad we're not playing Munster because it's very red out there. The players, I think, were pretty excited coming here today because you know, they now understand some of the traditions with this club as well. So, you know, very similar to ourselves, where we base a lot of things on growing a lot of homegrown players. So it's a fantastic setting. So hopefully we will get a good crowd of supporters here to the city. You know, the support that we've had all through the tournament has been outstanding. And, hopefully we'll put on a good show for the people that have followed us all year. You know, we didn't have a game last weekend, which meant we were able to manage the group, try and keep people as fresh as possible going into the game, and that's the big thing. So we're, you know, physically, mentally ready for the challenge that the players are going to face. So, and what an immense challenge it'll be. But that's why everyone in the club has worked so hard over the last number of seasons. It's been tough sometimes watching these semis and finals and not being in them. So everyone's worked hard to get to this point. Now it's about doing the things that have worked to get us here in the first place, and hopefully the players can execute it on the day.
Just like you said, there's a few there that can win a fourth European medal. What would winning a fourth medal mean to you?
There are the things that drag you off during the week that get you dreaming and get you thinking about things that you shouldn't be thinking about. I suppose that you got to use them as motivation a little bit, but then sort of park them and say that everything comes down to your performance. And ultimately, you know, if you want to feel fulfilled at the end of the game, you got to play well as an individual. You got to make, you know, the team's got to play well, and you got to win. So there's a lot of things that, and it's in that order that of importance. You got to look after your own job, do what's best for the team, and then hopefully the result will follow. Yeah, I've been pretty nervous all week. You wake up the week of a big game and you feel different, and sleep can be a struggle and the nerves can be a struggle, but you just got to try and focus your attention onto, you know, getting what's important right and your preparation, and putting all your energy into that, and leaving all the hype and try and park it and just really focus on putting in a good performance. And that's what we did in the quarterfinal, semi-final, throughout the group stages. So that's been key for us this week, and we've trained really well, we've prepared really well, and now we've just got to go out and do it on the biggest stage.
Is that, what do you think about your opponent, Teddy Thomas, and his game style?
Just world-class and a game-breaker. We saw that during Six Nations. We saw that against Munster, and he's had an outstanding 12 months. So a lot of respect for the way he plays the game. Likes to get involved, too, with the high work rate. So as a team, we need to be on our toes to watch him, because he's can make anything from nothing, and I've seen that over the last 12 months.
So that's Leinster's perspective ahead of the big game tomorrow. Miles, Sexton, he's just so cool at this stage, isn't he? But he knows he's going to be targeted tomorrow.
Yes, he does. That comes with the job. He says he's cool, but he also, he looks cool, but he says he's nervous in the run-up to this game, not just the day before, but the whole of the week. And of course, it means so much, even when you've achieved so much, like Johnny Sexton has now. Because for Leinster Rugby, they were once walking to or striding through Europe, three titles in 4 years. And it's been a long time since that. And Sexton was part of that. And to see the regeneration and to see the young players coming through into this very exciting Leinster team this season, I think they would have known all season that something special is building. And the pressure is now having to deliver. So, yes, he looks confident in the press conference and he talks very well. But you know, even Johnny Sexton admitted to feeling the nerves of this final, because it's all about getting across the line now, isn't it?
You know, clearly he is a key part of that Leinster side. They're full of international quality, and the way that they're talking about it being routine and normality, you know, is quite interesting, because I think that's a way of trying to pull back from that nervous edge. There's a nervous energy that clearly you need to be or have in balance as a professional sportsman. But those players are in the same hotel as I am, and they're wandering around. They're looking pretty relaxed. It's certainly not normal. It's not normal to be coming over to Bilbao and playing in such an amazing arena. But they seem to look pretty relaxed and pretty happy about their surroundings. And you know, as long as they get physically ready, that was another key point, I think, that came across in that press conference. But the physicality, Racing beat Munster up. If they manage to do the same to Leinster, then it's going to be a very tough afternoon. So the physical aspect of that is really important.
Because, Miles, you watch the captain's runs, you've seen them in training. Can you tell the body language? Can you interpret what these players are thinking? Because you've seen so many of them up close and personal before, but they're coming to a whole new stadium, a whole new environment this time.
Leinster look good, don't they? They have done all season. They look like a side that is ready to produce something special. And Leo Cullen, to take up on Tom's point there, was very keen to stress from the experiences he had, three times captain, that even though it feels like a long time ago now, what he remembers about weeks like this, and it goes back to the Johnny Sexton point, hiding the nerves, keeping them out of the way so it doesn't make the players lose the focus. And Leo was saying that it has to be, as best you can, a normal week. And there's nothing normal about it, but they've got to stay inside that bubble. And I think Leinster are very well led on the pitch by the likes of Nathewa and Sexton, you can go on, but also Cullen having been there and the addition of Stuart Lancaster this season. It's all coming together, both on and off the field.
How do you manage emotions then? They're all talking about managing emotions at this stage.
It's difficult. there's no two ways about it. You have to get right on point so that actually those emotions are a key to your preparation for a game. But should they spill over, that nervous energy becomes almost a hindrance to your performance. So you know, you look at the international quality. They've got a number of players that have played at the very highest level, that have done it and won competitions, this competition before. So I think there's an understanding and a real grip on what needs to be done from an emotional standpoint.
And Easton Athewa was very quick to go for that, wasn't he? He was asked about his emotions and what it feels like, because it's all coming to an end for him. And he's one of those that has been part of, started the three finals, got the three medals, been there, done it. But he was having none of it. He was going nowhere in terms of how was he feeling, what does it mean to him personally. No, it is about one thing: winning and staying in that bubble that they have been in all season, and have looked an increasingly impressive side.
This is the EPCR European Rugby Show with James Burridge, Tom May, Emma Thurston and our special guest Miles Harrison from Sky Sports. We've heard then from Leinster ahead of the European Rugby Champions Cup final. Next, we'll concentrate on Racing 92. Here's what Donnacha Ryan had to say in their news conference.
I think it's been a massive collective effort all year. I think we've done really well. We've reacted very well in the pitch, and I think you know, we've had a very good performance against Claremont and Munster. So yeah, I'm thrilled to bits to be in a final. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's going to be a great experience, and all the lads are really excited, looking forward to it, and yeah, so am I.
For a Munster guy, is that an extra motivation to play against Leinster boys?
It's always difficult playing against Leinster. And usually we play Leinster in a bit wetter conditions, so it's going to be pretty hot here in Bilbao. But yeah, look, I've played it with the lads a lot. You know, basically we're playing against an Irish team, a Grand Slam winning team. The caliber of player that they have is extraordinary, especially on the bench as well, to come on. So yeah, we're a massive challenge against us tomorrow. But you know, it's that's why we played the game.
Third high-profile match you've played against Irish opposition in the colours of Racing. Has it been difficult for you personally? Because obviously it attracts a lot of focus and there's a lot of talk about you. Has that been hard?
It's been different, all right. I wouldn't like that level of scrutiny, to be honest. I just really try and focus on a performance. That's all I really can do. It's great that the Irish public are following Irish players over in France. It's a fantastic opportunity for me. I've been living in France as well and learning the language slowly. But I've played a lot of high-profile games before, and I'm kind of more used to it. And I suppose that I can be thankful from being in Munster and Ireland over the years that it's the focus on the process, the system, and separate that from the emotional side of it as well. Is that you have to be really focused on doing the task at hand. It's all well and good being very was emotionally attached to not doing the job correctly. So we've trained very well during the week, and it's important that I commit fully to the role that has been given to me, and then to bring the intensity, which is generally the easiest part of being a professional rugby player, is that, you know, you love playing rugby. It's a, you know, as a job, it's fantastic. And but as I said, you can't lose sight of the task that's put in front of you. So looking forward to it as well.
You're one of very few non-French players in this Racing lineup. What specifically, in terms of skills and experience, have you been able to bring to this team and to the environment?
Yeah, definitely my footballing skills and my offloading skills. Predominantly, I'd say it's more tackling and rucking, to be honest, than mauling. So not very flashy stuff, but bringing a different way of doing things and perspective is what I've tried to do. And yeah, unfortunately, I'll leave Leone do the offloading stuff.
What you made of James Ryan this season, and also just Leinster's overall lineout?
Yeah, he's had an incredible season. Just getting feedback from even the Munster lads, like, you know, he's, during his Six Nations, his GPS scores are incredible, and his high work rate. And I suppose, you know, when you're coming into the squad, and you're really, you know, that youthful enthusiasm is driving guys on, and you know, he's playing alongside the most successful Irish second row in history so far. Devon has won everything and done everything, and he's got a ton of experience. And the Leinster lineup has been very good this year. I've played early on. He's very diligent in how he operates as well. They would have had 3 weeks to come up with a few new things as well. And it's how we react to those things on the pitch, and how we're able to try and close them down as best we can. It is a big part of the game. But knowing Leinster and the way they like to play, and the way Stuart, I suppose, trains the team, they basically like to have a high tempo game, try to get the pace of the game going. Like, we like to do that as well. We like to have a broken up game as well. Yeah, it'll just make for an interesting part of it as well. It's a game of chess, really. It's going to come to the line out, and it's some days you're able to pinch one or two, and the other days, you know, you can't. So it's just the way it is. But yeah, it'll be exciting as well. And James has been having a great season so far.
Your second row partner, Leone Nakawara, has had a fine season. Sum up his capabilities and the threat he is going to pose Leinster tomorrow.
Yeah, Leone's, as I suppose, I'll talk about the person first. He will greet you every morning with a big hug, which is very unusual, but is absolutely incredible. You put a smile on your face. You see these guys and you think, God, they're so talented, and what is their work ethic like? And you see them train and how hard they train. And, you know, even Yannick as well, been a month, you would have looked up to the likes of him and Pat Albacetti as well. You see how hard they train, and you're like, that does give you that confirmation in your own head that, like, you know, that it does take hard work to get to the level that these guys are. And Leone does work extremely hard, trains. It's great with GPS in the club that you're able to give yourself that barometer alongside him, that you're able to challenge yourself alongside him every day. Unfortunately, I don't have octopus hands, so that he's able to get fantastic offloads. Sometimes he does like to come into the change room with his top off and his Olympic gold medal around his chest as well. But no, he's a lovely guy, and you know, he's excited to play alongside. Very positive, always looking to, you know, to try something new as well. And yeah, it's a different second row partner I've had, but one that I'm enjoying a lot.
Donica Ryan then, from the Racing 92 press conference. Also there this afternoon was Captain Yannick Nyanga and the first joint head coach, Laurent Travers. He was speaking in French and he said there's the wonderful line, Tom May, about Johnny Sexton being le chef d'orchestre.
Yeah, I thought that was brilliant. You know, the key moment for me of that press conference, you know, what a brilliant thing to be calling Johnny Sexton. Clearly he knows him as a player very well from his time in Paris and understands the threat that he would pose to his side, to his Racing side. But I thought the sort of steely comments that came from Nyanga as well, he's very focused, understands his role and responsibility within the team. And I think you've got a guy in Laurent Travers that has been so focused on getting to this point. Clearly they've done it 2 years ago, but fell at the last hurdle. You just think now that they've just turned a corner, certainly their top 14 performances. You're starting to get a real understanding of how they're trying to play, and I don't think they quite knew that before. Clearly they don't like going through the floor and the breakdown in Vakatawa and Nakarawa. That's a mouthful, that, isn't it? Are in the middle of that. But, you know, it's a really, really interesting time, I think, for Racing, because they're really coming to the top of their performances.
And Miles, and Donica Ryan, he was asked a lot about culture, wasn't he, and about what he has brought, not the other way around. But let's be honest, it doesn't work out for a lot of players, Johnny Sexton being one of them. But he has been absolutely seismic, hasn't he, for Racing this season?
He has. He's loved it and they've loved him. That's been pretty obvious. And he also talked about the relationship that he's built with Leone Nakarawa in the second row and what a contrast they've proved to be. And I know the front row of Racing 92 have been talking about the contribution that Ryan not just makes in the line-out but in the scrum and how that has really helped. And to go back to that Machinot point, he is a big absence. There's no doubt about that. But it's also worth pointing out the game-breakers that are alongside Donica Ryan, not just in the second row, the likes of Nakarawa, but Vakatawa as well, Teddy Thomas. This is a very special side. And they, as Tom quite rightly says, have been moving towards a game that they want to play. And I think we've really seen that come through towards the tail end of this Champions Cup. They were excellent at Welford Road, where they had to win, otherwise they were facing the exit door. And then to go to Clermont and play how they did. Okay, Clermont have not been where they wanted to be this season, that's pretty obvious, but it's still a very difficult place to win. And they did it in a way that was mightily impressive, as was their first half performance against Munster in the semi-final. So we're talking about Leinster being a potentially special team. I think Racing are in that bracket as well. And you could see that in the confidence of not just their boss at the top table, but, as you say, Nyanga, who spoke superbly, and Donica Ryan, who's felt like he's fitted in, and how different it is to the Munster culture, but how refreshing at this stage of his career that he's been given this new challenge, and he has well and truly responded. And their responses to him, the little smiles when he was talking, there's a great togetherness here, and that is a potent force as well.
I think the guys that stand out, the names that stand out, are clear to see for Racing. You know, the likes of the players that Miles have mentioned, but I think Ryan is one of those guys. He is an out-and-out grafter. I thought it was quite interesting. He kept on mentioning work rate and GPS. It's not necessarily something you associate with second rows.
Or French teams, for that matter.
French teams, yeah. So that's a slight shift. But you, if you look at four names, I think, for me, that perhaps won't be the ones that everyone talks about. Ryan would be one of those. Loret, Leroux, and Chavancy in the centre. They get through so much work, not only in attack in terms of getting on the gain line and over it, but also in and around that defensive system that's so important for Racing.
And Miles, and on the point you alluded to about who they have played, because a lot of people say, well, Leinster have played far tougher sides up till now. And actually, when you look at Racing, they played a Leicester team who haven't probably been at their best. They played a Clermont team, admittedly, at home, but they haven't been at their best. They haven't really come up against, you know, a really tough side.
Totally get that. And I think if Leinster go on and win this tournament, we will say that there's no side won it in quite the way that they'll have won it. It will be the best win in view of the pool that they were in. the pool of the league leaders, if you like, or the champions, and then to take on the two times champions in the quarterfinal and dispatch them. Okay, on their patch, but dispatch them. And they did the same to the Scarlets, the Pro 14 champions, in the semi-final. It is a mightily impressive run to this tournament. But Racing 92 are a side that have been evolving throughout the season, and it's a final. It's a one-off. And you look at that team sheet, and the closer you get to kick-off, I understand why Leinster are favourites. I made them favourites before the tournament. They were my tip for the cup. But so I'm not going to go away from that position. But it's one of those games, the closer you get, the more you think about it, and you think about how tight finals can be and how they can change your moments, and you look at match winners in that Racing 92 side, I think it's going to be a lot closer than perhaps some people think.
Saturday, then May the 12th, it's the European Rugby Champions Cup final, Leinster against Racing 92, here in Bilbao at the San Mamés Stadium, 4:45 kickoff BST, 17:45 local time on BT Sport 2, Sky Sports Action with Miles, beIN Sports and FR Dirt. Miles, give me your prediction then. I know you've kind of alluded to it, but if you were to put your money on it.
I'd go Leinster, I really would. And I can see that. This is sort of covering all bases, so yeah, I know you're going to accuse me here of sitting on every fence going, but it's partly my job to do that. But I can see Leinster, if they put in that performance, going away again and putting in a 30-point job, as they did against Saracens and Scarlets. And that's not rocket science. We've all seen it. It's been there in front of us, quarter-final, semi-final stage. They're a very, very strong team. But I come back to that point. I just think Racing 92, motivated immensely. Also, teams change. They evolve even a couple of years. But there's enough people involved who played in the final 2 years ago to have that still really hurting. And I think in this competition, if it shows anything during the course of history, you have to go through the hard times to get the trophy. Is that what we're seeing with Racing here? Is it still a bit too early? I don't know. But a bit closer than perhaps I was thinking before. But to come back to your main point, James, I think Leinster. I really do.
Miles, thanks very much for joining us. Enjoy tomorrow. It's going to be a fantastic occasion.
Yeah, it will be. I think it'll be right up there. I think given the setting that we're in, and it's new ground as well, and that's very, very exciting. Wonderful for the region to have this chance to see what rugby's all about, and wonderful for the competition. It's a big tick all round. And let's hope that the game... I understand the weather's not going to be quite what it was this morning, but let's hope the game matches today's weather, but also the surroundings, because they're very special too.
Don't forget, we've got one more podcast to come from Bilbao. Our final episode of the season will bring you reaction to the Champions Cup final from both camps and some special guests that will be ready to download from all the best podcast places, including Audio Boom, iTunes and Stitcher, when you wake up on Sunday morning. And a reminder, too, about a third key game of rugby, which has become a key part of finals weekend. Saturday, the 12th of May, it's the European Rugby Continental Shield final between Yenisei STM and Heidelberger RK. It's 11 o'clock kickoff BST, 12 o'clock kickoff local time, and it's going to be streamed live on the European Rugby Champions Cup Facebook page.
This is the EPCR European Rugby Show with James Burridge, Tom May and Emma Thurston.
And for those of you who are in Bilbao this weekend, go to championscuprugby.com for some essential information about the area. Look for the Finals Bilbao 2018 tab at the top of the homepage and then click through to the Basque Country link. There are details about how to get to the stadium, how to navigate around Bilbao on public transport. There's restaurant like that. There's restaurant suggestions and some information about some great places to visit whilst you're in the region. And Emma, you've all the details about the Champions Rugby Village.
Yes, it's open in El Arenal, Bilbao, as well as a big screen to watch the matches on. There's plenty of rugby games to try out, live bands, a market, a museum, and of course, things to eat and drink. So do make your way along there and it'll be open for the rest of the weekend. All the details about the Champions Rugby Village can be found on championscuprugby.com.
Hang on, you have missed out the star attraction. Tom May, you're going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be there in what is supposed to be pouring rain, trying to make everyone enjoy themselves. So, I'm looking forward to that, meeting everyone. Done a couple of things today, and it's great to see how the sort of Spanish public as well are embracing rugby being in the town.
Good stuff. To come, a coaching profile of Leinster's Leo Cullen. But next, we're down to five in the race to be the EPCR Player of the Year.
I'm Dylan Hartley. You're listening to the EPCR European Rugby Show.
It's James Burridge, Tom May and Emma Thurston with you on the EPCR European Rugby Show. And a reminder, you can vote now at championscuprugby.com for the European Rugby Player of the Year 2018, presented by Turkish Airlines. And here is the shortlist. Scott Fardy, Ty Furlong, Johnny Sexton of Leinster, Maxime Machinot and Leone Nakarawa of Racing. Of course, Machinot is going to be missing from the final because of injury. But you can make your choice now at championscuprugby.com, and voting will remain open until the end of the Champions Cup final on Saturday evening. By voting, you could be in with a chance of winning €1,500 worth of Turkish Airlines flights. As was the case in selecting the final shortlist of five, the 2018 EPCR European Rugby Player of the Year, presented by Turkish Airlines, will be decided by a combination of the public vote and the views of the judging panel. And the winning player will receive the Anthony Furley Memorial Trophy, a specially struck commemorative medal, and 1 million air miles, courtesy of Turkish Airlines, which is a huge amount. So you can find all the details of the expert panel on championscuprugby.com, and that's also where you can cast your vote. So it's Leinster against Racing 92 in Saturday's final, and Leo Cullen could become the first man to win the European Champions Cup as a player and as a head coach. At the start of the season, we asked him about his leadership style and about how his coaching career began.
How did you first move from being a player to being a coach?
I was obviously a player in Leinster for a number of years. John O'Gibbs, who was the forwards coach at the time, announced that he was going to join Claremont Auvergne, so there's a vacancy there. Matt O'Connor, who was the Leinster head coach, offered me the position. I'm very grateful to Matt O'Connor, who gave me my opportunity to go into coaching. A few other opportunities at the time. One of the things was, you know, Leinster going through quite a reasonably successful period as well. It was just too hard to give it up is the big thing. It's very, very addictive. Preparing for games, you know, winning is a very addictive thing. You want to have that sense of achievement. Leinster's a great organisation to be part of. Something that it's an organisation that played a big part of my life, so I've been involved on and off at various different stages since I was 17 years of age. So it's a great club to be involved with, and obviously everyone wants the club to do well and try and get back to being at the top of European rugby.
What fundamental values do you expect from your players?
I think the players need to look for to be constantly improving, so that ruthless drive to get better and better. Need to be competitive, you know, because at the end of the day it's we're all here to try and win, you know, so need to have real strong competitive instincts, but also to be, you know, humble people as well, you know, so there's definitely an obligation in Leinster for us to serve the rest of the province as well, because, you know, we're about growing the next tier of players, so, you know, the most senior players need to make sure that they're spending time with some of the younger players, you know, our academy are housed in the same building as us, as the senior group, so they're right beside each other where they get dressed and where they train every day, so that's important as well.
What's the best piece of advice you've been given?
You've got to be able to stay the course. You know, there's ups and downs in this business, so you've got to be able to stay the course.
How would you describe your leadership style?
You know, obviously you need to be able to set the standard for the group, but it's also trying to empower other leaders in the organisation. So, you know, Leinster is an amazing place where it really matters to a lot of people how the team go. And having that sense of growing that sense of obligation and responsibility to serve all the various different stakeholders is important.
Who were your rugby inspirations?
So many influences. When I was younger, Dean Richards was a player I always admired. Because I was number 8 playing underage, he was somebody I always admired. Zinzan Brook from New Zealand as well, so two very contrasting styles. So yeah, those two are probably the early ones anyway.
Tom May, Leo Cullen, whenever you hear him, just like in that interview there, he just seems so calm. And yet, let's be honest, the changing room before kickoff can be anything but.
Yeah, and I think that comes from experience, you know, both experience as a player, but now a coach. You know, he's I think, basically, from the messages that I've been hearing from him, he's trying to replicate how he used to be as a player, as a coach. Try and give some of that... I guess the freedom to express himself, even though he was in a position where he didn't necessarily get to do that too much, but allow his players to do that, but with a really high standard of performance that is expected.
And of course, it's the same for Laurence Reverse.
Yeah, it's great to have both those players in, or those coaches in those positions. And I think, you know, certainly from listening to Laurent Travers, he's really excited about the opportunity with Racing being here for the second time, and is really focused on getting the job done.
And now it's this.
I'm Issa Siwa, and I'll be playing fantasy rugby on championscuprugby.com.
Yes, don't forget to change your fantasy rugby teams ahead of finals weekends. When it comes to the classic version of the game, if you've already used your wild card, then within the rules, you have 5 transfers available leading into the showpiece game this weekend, of course. And when it comes to daily fantasy rugby, any 7 players from the Champions Cup final, there are no restrictions or budget limits, and it's irrespective of positions or clubs. Tom May, you've been gloating all season. Is your squad now fairly fixed, or have you made some changes?
I've brought my laptop, put it that way.
You're going to be doing it tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I might just have a little thing.
When I'm not watching.
Yeah, basically.
Don't forget the new app. The official EPCR fantasy app is available in English and French at Google Play and Apple's App Store. You can spend a huge amount of time trying to pick your team. I haven't necessarily got it right, but Tom May seems to think, look, hold on, I can see you've probably got some names down there, Tom. You're gloating already. He seems to think that he's going to be beating me once again. So let's see if you guys listening to the pod can do any better. That's all we've got time for on this EPCR European Rugby Show bonus podcast from Bilbao's San Mamés Stadium. Thanks to today's guest, Miles Harrison of Sky Sports. So we are all set for the big one, the one everybody wants to win, the European Rugby Champions Cup final. Leinster against Racing 92 here at 4:45pm BST, 5:45 local time on Saturday the 12th of May. You can watch the match on BT Sport 2, Sky Sports Action, beIN Sports and FR Der. Go to championscuprugby.com for all the news, info and behind-the-scenes images. Keep in touch with Finals Weekend on Twitter, at Champions Cup, and the European Rugby Champions Cup Facebook page as well. We'll be back with analysis and reaction after the Champions Cup final. But for now, from Tom May, Emma Thurston and myself, James Burridge, hasta mañana.